Praise the Lord. Indeed, he is good and he is worthy of all of our praise. He's worthy of us to lay down everything that we have before him, that he would have his way in us. Like, we need to lay it down today, because some of us brought some stuff with us today that ain't doing us any good at all. There's all kinds of stuff that we've had to deal with in our lives that we have, that have been weighing on us. And I'm going to try not to preach my sermon before I preach my sermon. But the reality is, like, you walked in here today with some stuff on your shoulders. And the good news of Jesus Christ is you can lay it down before him. And that doesn't mean it's just going to poof, go away. But it does mean that you have a hope in Jesus, that he's able to provide for you strength and power that you can't just muster up by yourself. So I praise God. I praise God for the gospel of Jesus Christ that shows us that we don't just do this in our own strength. We don't do this on our own power. We do this through a relationship with Jesus. Amen. Over the summer, I had an opportunity to go with my family to Breckenridge, Colorado. We were there for about a week. And it was incredible. We had this little condo we were staying in. And what was great about this condo first of all, for those of you who don't know, Breckenridge is just this little ski resort town, right? Except we were there in the middle of summer, so not a whole lot of skiing. But everything is a mountain out there, right? So there is no flat anything anywhere. And so even like the condo we were in, from the front door to the back door, we dropped four stories, right? So it was a four-story condo. On the bottom floor, they had this hot tub, which was pretty cool, I'm not going to lie. Like, so my family and I, we were able to enjoy that. The very first night there, it was pretty cool, actually. Very first night there, Isaiah and I were the only two that wanted to get in. And so we're out there and everything. It was snowing on us as we were in the hot tub in June, right? I mean, this is crazy. What in the world? Where, I didn't even know these places existed in the world, right? But there was another night where we were all kind of out there, and as you look out from where the hot tub was, you could see down into the town of Breckenridge, right? And it's a little postcard, y'all, like, for real. It's all the little shops and the little clock tower and whatever, you know. And but then behind the town, right, there's a couple more mountains that shoot up there. And I remember having a conversation with the boys to be like, wouldn't it be cool to, like, climb one of those mountains? We should do that, right? And so what we decided then was that the next day, we would drive and just see where those mountains go, right? And so we did, and we got lost a couple of times, and it was great. It was awesome. We found our way back eventually, I think we got to the top of one of the mountains we were looking at, but it's kind of hard when you're there to see exactly how far up you're going and everything. But then we were like, I mean, that's cool to drive it and everything like that, but wouldn't it be cool to, like, hike it, right? What if we hiked one of those mountains? That'd be awesome. Man, that'd be incredible. So we did. We found, like, even from the hot tub, you could kind of look out and you could see some of the trails and everything that were going up there and everything. So we figured out, like, where to start and how to get there and everything. And sure enough, the three of us got out there, and I think Beth and Lily, they went shopping and everything. The boys and I, we found the mouth of this trail, and we were like, all right, let's conquer, boys. Let's do this, right? And sure enough, we got on that thing, and as it turns out, it was actually like a mountain bike trail, which is not a problem. It was not a problem. It was just that everything, like, it went like up the hill and down the hill. It just went sideways, turn, sideways again, turn, sideways again. And so what was a quarter mile up the hill is actually like an 8-mile trip up this mountain or whatever. It even rained on us at one point. It was amazing. It was absolutely incredible. And then when we got to the top, it was really cool because, like, the view back to where we were in the hot tub was unbelievable, right? Totally different perspective. We see the little town from the other side, right? And it was just sort of that feeling of getting there, of getting to the top, that accomplishment of doing that was was pretty fun. It was pretty cool. Over the next 3 weeks, including today, we are going to start a new sermon series called Comfort Zones and going beyond our comfort zones, all right? It was great that we were able to be there in the hot tub and everything. And let me just tell you, it was super comfy there. I got the jets working and all that kind of stuff, right? Could have fallen asleep right there if I wouldn't have drowned in it. But in order for the boys and I to actually, like, accomplish that feat of getting to the top of the mountain, we had to get out of the hot tub, right? We had to do some things. And so what we're going to do today is we're actually going to look at the life of Esther. We're going to look at an opportunity that she had to break out and go beyond one of her comfort zones. And we're going to use her as an example to talk about, like, what we can do to break out of and to go beyond the comfort zones that we may experience in our own lives as well. Even in this picture here, I want you to recognize it can be really nice to just sit in the chairs and to see the view. But I don't believe that God is calling us just to sit in the chairs and to see the view. I believe God is calling us to actually hike a couple of mountains. I believe he's calling us to do some things that are hard. I believe he's calling us to do some things that we may not even think that we can do, right? And the only way that we get to the point where we're able to actually get to the peak of those mountains instead of just looking at them is we got to get up out of those chairs and we got to go do some things. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to look at one of the opportunities that Esther had, and we're going to try to learn from her how is it that we can go beyond the comfort zones that we find ourselves in even now. Before we jump into that, though, if you would, pray with me. God, we do thank you so much for your presence here among us. We recognize, God, that your Holy Spirit is already at work here. We thank you, Father, for the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ, even in Melba's testimony this morning, God. We thank you, Lord, that the power of your Holy Spirit is stirring up in our hearts already, God. Lord, I just ask in the name of Jesus that you would speak through me, Father, that my words would be your words, that your message alone would be proclaimed in this place, and that, God, you would give all of us the courage to say yes to you. Whatever it is you might challenge us with, whatever it is that you might convict us of, whatever it is that you might want to renew in our minds, Father, help us to say yes to you today. We want to glorify you in all that we do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to pick up the part of the story with Esther where Mordecai, who is her uncle but is also her legal guardian, if you will, she's been adopted by Mordecai. Esther at this point is already the queen, and Mordecai has gone and he's placed himself outside the front of the palace, right? Esther realizes, like, something's up with Mordecai here. Let me go figure out. So Esther sends one of her servants to go and to talk to Mordecai, right? Servant gets over there and is like, Mordecai, what's up? This is, like, my translation, right? And Mordecai says, okay, y'all ain't gonna believe this. Haman has offered a certain amount of money to the king in order that the Jews might be destroyed. And he says to the servant, he says, here's the edict that was sent out. Take this back to Esther. Show her the edict that also says the Jews are to be destroyed. And then tell her, servant, tell Esther that she needs to go before the king and plead for mercy for the Jews. So the servant heads on back to Esther, and he says, okay, so here's what's up. Mordecai said that Haman did this thing, and he tried to pay this money, and here's this edict as the proof, and you need to go before the king. Well, Esther, like, right away is like, well, you tell him. Everybody knows that if you go before the king without being requested in his presence, then the law says that you can be killed unless he extends his scepter to you. Right? He hasn't called for me for 30 days. Right? So the servant's like, okay. So heads on over to Mordecai there. Like, okay, Mordecai, here's the deal. Everybody knows that you can't go before the king or else you get killed. She hasn't been requested. So that's where we are. And Mordecai says to the servant this time, right? Like, No, you need to understand, like, if you don't say something, like, don't think for a moment that just because you're in the palace that you're not going to die as well. I know they may not know you're Jewish yet, but don't think that just because you're there that you're going to escape the judgment that's coming down on all the Jews. And he says to her, he's like, what I need you to do is to recognize that maybe God has brought you to this situation for just such a time as this, right? And if you choose not to say anything, like God will raise up another deliverer, but you need to know that you and your family are going to die. But what if this is the opportunity that God raised you up to be in? So the servant goes back over to Esther. Okay, so here's what Mordecai said. Like, you're not going to escape. Like, you're going to die too. If you don't actually, like, do this and everything, they're going to figure the whole thing out. God will raise up another deliverer. But what if, like, God raised you up for such a time as this? And Esther's response this time was like, all right, fine. You go tell Mordecai to get all the Jews together and all of you fast for 3 days. I'm going to get all my ladies together. We're going to fast for 3 days. And after 3 days, I'm going to go before the king. And if it is for me to die, then I'll die. But you go tell Mordecai. Servant heads back over to Mordecai, right? Tells him, hey, get everybody together, 3 days, fast, right? And she's going to go before the king. So Mordecai goes then, gets everybody together, and does exactly as Esther had encouraged him to do. So there's a few things in this story here that I want to sort of pull out of it to help us see how it is that we can, even as Esther did, break out of the comfort zones we might have in order to get to the place where we see the power of God at work in our lives, right? So first of all, we need to recognize that life will challenge our comfort. Life, just life in general, is going to challenge our comfort. Let me actually read for you Esther chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Esther 4, verses 6 through 8. Says, so Hathach, who's the servant, by the way, went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show Esther and explain it to her. And he told him to instruct her to go to the king's presence and to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Now, I think we need to just pause here just a moment to acknowledge the fact that Esther wasn't there because she wanted to be. Right? Like, so, like, if we're being real about this here, this is more an issue of human trafficking than it is a rags-to-riches story, right? Esther's not there because she was smitten with the king, right? She was there because she was selected to be there, and she is the queen because the king selected her to be queen. She didn't get to say, well, actually, you're not my type. Not his type is dead, all right? Like, that's really how that works. And so we need to recognize, like, I know sometimes in the story of Esther, like, we see, like, oh, she had this great opportunity to be used of God, and she does, like, but I think part of what actually colors the story for us is recognizing that it was not of her will that she was there, right? This is not like, she is not seeing this opportunity with the king as like this great life opportunity of hers. She might be trying to make lemonade out of lemons, but this was not of her choice. And in fact, when here in just a moment, we're going to read the fact that she had been 30 days since it had been 30 days since she had been requested of the king. And now, we might think of that like, oh, like, that's kind of rude, right? Husband ain't even talking to his wife for 30 days? Like, what is that like? I know last night in our community group, we were talking about that, and Beth rolled her eyes at me like I was the one who did it or something like that. Like, I didn't say anything. Like, I didn't do anything. But we got to recognize here, like, if Esther's not exactly, like again, it is not of her will that she is there. So for her not being called from the king for 30 days, that might actually be a blessing. Like, think about that. That may be peace that she is able to experience in an otherwise trauma-filled life, where it's nothing, she has control over nothing in her life. But over these last 30 days, maybe she's had a little peace from that that she's not been able to experience all the time, right? See, we need to kind of look into these things a little bit more to see some of this. See, like, Esther was actually doing pretty well before Haman got all mad and frustrated and wanted to annihilate the Jews and everything like that, right? Those 30 days that she had was probably, like, really peaceful thing. Like, she has in the palace, she gets all her beauty treatments and everything. She probably sets her, and she got her own servants, like all this kind of stuff, right? But then Haman goes and he just goes all crazy. And so because of that, now Esther is being called upon by Mordecai to do something, right? See, most of our comfort zones are our current way. They are the current way in which we are protecting ourselves from past issues. For most of us, the reason why we like our comfort zone so much is because we've gone through some stuff in our past and we're trying to protect ourselves from what we went through before. We remember the trauma of childhood. We remember some of the things that we went through. We remember how we were hurt by some people, how we were left by some people. We have those wounds that we carry. And many times the comfort zones that we find ourselves in now are the ways that we protect ourselves from what we've gone through in our past, particularly those things that have influenced us in negative ways. We've managed and adapted our way out of those traumas into a place of what we might call normalcy, right? And so we're able to function in life, and we're able to parent our kids, and we're able to go to work, and we're able to eat out at restaurants and those kinds of things. We're able to do those things because we've been able to somehow find a comfort zone in which those things aren't constantly controlling everything that we do. But the reality is that even in those comfort zones, those past things still kind of control the things we do. Yes. See, and then in the midst of these comfort zones, in the midst of these places where we feel this rest, much like Esther was able to feel these 30 days of rest, right? We find ourselves in these places of rest, and in the midst of that, life happens again, right? Our spouse goes crazy. Our kids go crazy. Our parents go crazy, right? We've got our boss will go nuts and do something off the wall. The doctor will tell us something we ain't trying to hear. The banker will try to remind us what we don't have, right? Even the pastor or somebody at the church will fly off or say something that you take kind of sideways. Maybe you're even a Phillies fan. I don't know, right? Like, life happens, right? Life happens. And there in the midst of all of your peace, in the midst of your comfort, in the midst of the walls that you've sort of set up to keep yourself hurt from the world anymore, right? Life finds a way to interrupt all of that and to challenge those comfort zones. So when that comfort zone is challenged, what do we do? Well, the reality is that it's always going to be easier to stay comfortable than to engage the challenge that is before us, right? We see this even in Esther, chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. It says, Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said, and then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, which again, this poor servant, like back and forth and back and forth, like somebody just gets a good cell phone coverage, right? Like for real, like text each other something, like this poor guy. So then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, all the king's officials and the people of the royal province know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned by the king has but one law, that they be put to death unless the king extends the royal scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. Now again, I feel the need here to be really, really fair to Esther, right? she had reason for concern. Like, legit reason for concern. Like I would imagine she's probably heard a story or two about somebody who just decided, oh, I got something to say to the king. And so they're going to roll up in the palace, and then that's the last thing they ever say in their lives. There's probably been a few of those rumors or, like, actual stories that have gone around. And maybe she was next to the king when some of that happened. Who knows, right? But she knows the king is for real. And so we do have to extend to Esther, at least, before we say, oh, come on, you big chicken. Like, what are you doing? Go save your people here, right? We do have to extend the fact that there was some genuine concern and fear that she had, right? It would be a lot easier for her to just stay in the palace and just enjoy the beauty treatments, and because she doesn't have to risk immediate death and showing up uninvited if she just stays in her comfort zone, right? Death is not on the table if she just stays where she is. To be fair, we have reason for genuine concern as well, right? I mean, on one hand, there's a reason why we have these comfort zones, right? Again, a lot of times we're trying to protect ourselves from things that have already hurt us, and it might even feel like if we let go of those comfort zones that we're just letting those past things just come in and knock us over once again, right? There's genuine concern for some of that. And I mean, if we're being, like, super honest and transparent with each other here, I mean, the reality is that, like, if you decide to be a Jesus follower, like, Jesus asked some people to do some pretty crazy stuff, right? And you might just be reading the Bible and just be like, I don't know about all that, like, really, Jesus? Like, that's a lot. And so maybe you have a genuine concern that Jesus is going to ask you to do some things that you're not really sure you're really ready to do. I mean, there's some genuine concern there. And it's always going to feel easier to stay in your comfort zone and not to follow Jesus. And I'm not even talking about just, like, follow him, like, in terms of surrendering your life to him in that one moment of, like, yes, Lord, I recognize that I've been trying to do this on my own and my comfort zones are not working, and God, I need you to take over my life, Jesus. I want to follow you so that I can find victory instead of the defeat that I'm living in right now. Like surrendering to Jesus in that moment is one thing, and that's huge, and that's really, really important. And if you haven't made that decision yet, like, just like Melva, you can make that decision too, right? And we can celebrate that surrender of your life to Jesus. But the reality is that Jesus is calling us to do things all the time, even for people who've been walking with Jesus for 50, 60 years, right? Like, he's still calling you to do stuff. He's still calling you to take steps of faith. He's still calling you to challenge that comfort zone. And we've got to be willing to say yes to that challenge. It's always going to be easier not to take that next step. But what we've got to do is we've got to embrace the risk that comes with following Jesus. See, it's easier not to think about your sin because you won't have to think about the consequences for it or even what to do about it or even what Jesus already did about it, right? If you don't think about sin, you don't have to think about consequences for it. It's easier not to think about your God-given purpose because then you don't have to worry about pursuing it, right? If you don't have a purpose from God, then you can just do whatever you want to do, right? And that's, I guess, that feels pretty comfortable. It's always going to feel easier not to serve others because then you can just spend time your way doing whatever it is you want to do. It's always going to feel easier not to embrace the Great Commission to make disciples because then you won't be concerned if disciples aren't being made, right? Because that's not your job, right? I get that there's genuine reason for concern, and Esther had genuine reason for concern. But this actually leads me to the next point here, which is that doing nothing is also a risk, right? So in Esther chapter 4, verse 12, It says, then Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, and he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your family, or your father's family, will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. See, staying in your comfort zone is a risk to your life. Please hear that. Like, I know, like, it feels like stepping out of a comfort zone would be a risk, but I just want you to know, like, staying in your comfort zone is a bigger risk than actually following Jesus in whatever it is that he would challenge you to do. Staying in your comfort zone, just like with Esther, will actually risk your own life, but that's not all. Because according to what Mordecai was saying to Esther here, is not only would it risk her life, but it would actually risk the life of her family. When you think about it that way, like, staying in our comfort zones actually risks what our families see as the example of following Jesus. What if your family, your kids, your nieces, your nephews, your grandkids, what if your family defined what a Jesus follower was based on your example? So I know a lot of people want to say, oh, well, that's pastor's job. Pastor needs to be the example. Like surely there's some other people, like elders, some other people who have been following the Lord for a long time. No, they need to be the example. That's great and all, but I don't live in your house. And your people are going to see you. And I just need you to know, like, when you choose to do nothing, when you choose not to engage the risk of going beyond those comfort zones, then what you are doing is risking that your family defines what a Jesus follower is on your latency, right? On not doing anything. And they begin to imagine, well, that must just be what following Jesus is. You just show up on a Sunday morning and then you go home, and maybe even give a couple of dollars. But then once I do that, like, I'm good, right? If we're not careful, we may even be risking the lives of people who are not in a position of influence as that we're in. Now watch this, because if we have Jesus, then we have the power of God inside of us to change this city. Amen? Like, if we have Jesus, we have the power of God inside of us to change this city. And if we sit in our palace, right, if we sit in our places of comfort and we do nothing, then we put the lives of other people all around our city in danger of hell itself. And I know it's hard to hear that, but the reality is that if we do nothing, that is a greater risk than actually pursuing Jesus. So then how do we prepare for that risk? Let me get us out of here real quick, because Esther said some things back to Mordecai and said, okay, there's some things that I need y'all to do here. And it even kind of reminds me back to when the boys and I were going up that mountain. You know, when we were in the hot tub, there were some steps that we had to take from hot tub to mountain, right? The hot tub didn't just levitate and eventually find itself up on the top of a mountain somewhere. And I mean, that would have been cool, I guess, but that wasn't the will of God in our lives. And so we had to get up out of there. We had to change our clothes. We had to put some shoes on, right? We had to pack a bag that had some food and some water. We should have taken ponchos or something. We didn't know it was going to rain. It's all right. Right? We had to find a map. We didn't know where the trail started. We didn't know where it was going to end. We didn't know how to find our way back. All this kind of, like, we had to do some things in order to accomplish the challenge that was set before us there, right? Esther did as well, right? So she sends Mordecai and says, hey, get some people, go fast, right? Fast and pray, and then in 3 days, I'm going to go before the king. So here's what I want you to see here. There were three things that Esther did here that I want to encourage you to use to prepare for how God is challenging you to go beyond your comfort zones as well. The first is that she challenged Mordecai to go get the people. Go get the people together, right? Don't just do this by yourself, Mordecai. You go get every Jewish person you can find, right? And you get all of them to fast together. Church, I want you to know, I think the one thing that is crippling most people in the world today from truly following Jesus is the fact that they feel like they're doing it all by themselves. And I just want you to know, for those of you that are under the sound of my voice right now, I need you to know, like, by yourself is not the design of God. Like, we want you to know, like, we are here to be a family with you. We want to walk with you. We don't want to just tell you some theological ideas and hope it sticks or whatever. No, we want to actually get in your mess with you and actually walk this thing with Jesus. One of the ways that we can do that is through our community groups. Like, I'm just telling you, if you're not yet a part of a group, it's an incredible way to just be real about your own life and to process God's word with other people that actually gets into, like, your life, right? I mean, don't get me wrong. We can sit around and talk about all the interesting things of biblical history for years and all this kind of stuff. But if that doesn't actually connect with us, then what's the point? These community groups are a really great way to do that. Another thing that I really want you to consider, too, is, like, maybe the way that you need to prepare to really get beyond your comfort zone is to find someone that can disciple you, someone that can sort of mentor you, right, spiritually mentor you, and to help you walk through whatever this relationship with Jesus is supposed to look like. I just want you to know, we've got over 30 people that have been trained to do this, right? And so we have people that we can connect you with that aren't, like, spiritual experts, right? But we see how God can work through our lives to help other people grow in their spiritual maturity as well. And we'd love to help you get connected with somebody that can do that for you too. The second thing is Esther called them to fast and to pray. And I just want to encourage you, like, I know fasting is not something that a lot of people are just like, whoo, yeah, sign me up for fasting. Love that. But I just want you to know there's something about fast. There's something about turning your plate down that will actually, like, stir the heart of God. And what you'll find is it will help you recognize the desperation that you ought to have for him. It's funny how hunger motivates people. It is, right? Like, I can't go into that too long, but it is interesting how hunger motivates people, and it will even motivate you spiritually to call out on the name of the Lord for the way that he would move in your life and the lives of others. And then the last thing is she just set her mind. She said, you know what? Whatever comes in 3 days, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna make this happen, right? And so Esther went before the king. And what was interesting here is that we see that this first risk that she took to go before the king was just the first of a series of risks that she had to take. I want to just be super transparent with you right now. If today is the day that you decide to follow Jesus, this is not going to be the last risk you ever take in your life. If today is the day that you see that God has put a call on your life and he's calling you to do something you've never done before, I just want you to know that's not going to be the last time he ever calls you to risk something in your life. Like, I just want you to go into this with your eyes wide open. Like, every step that you take with Jesus will be worth it, but very few of them will be comfortable. And he will constantly challenge you. And every time you take another step of faith, you'll be so thankful you left that comfort zone behind, because you're going to see blessing and favor. You're going to see purpose and value in your life that you're not going to see if you just stay comfortable, right? So, let me just give you a few things to consider before we leave today. And that is, first of all, I think it's important for us to really ask ourselves, like, what are the genuine concerns that you have about following Jesus, right? What are the genuine concerns that you have about following Jesus? Because there may be some, and I'm not even talking about just following him for the first time. Maybe there are some things that as you've been walking with the Lord, you recognize, like, whoo, this thing's getting harder as we go, right? It's important for us to really speak out what those concerns are. Secondly, then, how can you prepare yourself now for the risk that God is going to bring your way? Because he is going to call you beyond your comfort zones. So what are some things you can do now? Maybe it's joining a community group. Maybe it's getting baptized. Maybe you've decided to follow Jesus, but we haven't actually been able to celebrate that publicly. Like, baptism is an awesome way for you to declare, like, I'm a Jesus person now, right? And so we'd love for you to talk to us about getting that going and everything. Whatever those things are, I want you to be thinking about how you can prepare yourself for the risk that God is calling you to do. And then finally, just really set your mind. What is the action that you need to take? Maybe the action that you need to take is to become a follower of Jesus. Maybe the action that you need to take is just to talk with one of the pastors here at the church. Maybe the action that you need to take is to join a community group. Whatever it might be, I want you to set your mind today to say, you know what? No matter what's happening in my life, I'm going to take this step. Even as Esther said to Mordecai, 3 days, if we're all fasting, I'm going to take this step. And if it's for me to die, then I'm going to die. But I'm going to take this step. And the good news is, she didn't die. And the good news is, she saved the lives of a whole nation. And the good news is, Jesus will bring things into your life that you can't see right now. But you have to set your mind to take action. See, I believe that the comfort zones that we have, as good as they are for right now, I believe God's calling us out of those into some risky places. But I promise you, the risk of following Jesus is always better than the risk of not and just staying where we are. Pray with me. God, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to hear your word today. Lord, I just ask in the name of Jesus that you would help us to get beyond every comfort zone that we find ourselves in right now. Lord, we want to worship you. We want to honor you. We want to say yes to you, God. So, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would challenge us, Lord, that you would give us big dreams, big visions, Lord, of what it is that you would desire to accomplish in our lives. God, we know that there is a lost and dying world all around us, Father, and we recognize, God, that you have raised up your church in order to go into that lost and dying world and lead people to you, Lord. I pray that even today, Lord, if we are the ones who need to come into relationship with you, help us to submit to you, God. If we are the ones that need to share Jesus with others, Lord, help us to say yes to you, God. Whatever the risk is, whatever it costs, help us to say yes to you even now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.